Hey everyone, it's Naomi Wolf. This is a sponsored post, and I'm really honored to be here with Joe Sackman. We interviewed him once before, and today we're specifically wanting to get an update from Joe about how the race for New York State Assembly District 15 is going. Joe, welcome, and tell us how it's going.
Thanks for having me. It's been busy. You know, we're, I think if you look at it, we're kind of at a microcosm of what the national race is, Democrat versus Republican, say progressive versus a very far right wing conservative. And I think it's going to be close, you know, with early voting. Early voting this year has been tremendous. We've had record numbers come out the last week, and you know, from everyone, Republican, Democrat, unaffiliated, and I think that's great because that means people are participating. And tomorrow we're going to see how it's going to really go, because November 3rd, I think a lot of people have been waiting for that day. They want to vote. They're going to come out, and as long as it is not a super snowstorm, they'll be there. Even then, I think they're going to show up. So
when we last spoke, you focused on what you saw as your top issues, and they really made an impression on me. You were talking about the need for environmental cleanup to address healthcare crises on Long Island in your district. It's a district that has a high number of cancer rates. You talked about how students couldn't afford tuition and were sleeping in their cars, or, you know, just living suboptimally, and that tuition was a huge issue. And you talked about small businesses, and that was even before the pandemic, I believe. You talked about how small businesses were being, you know, were struggling. Actually, it was during the pandemic, and that you had a lot of members of immigrant communities in your district, the people you want to represent, who are working hard, being, you know, very entrepreneurial, and you were concerned about them. Do you want to update any of those issues? Did those come up in your conversations with your constituents as you've been campaigning? Or did you find they resonated with voters?
Yeah, I think the water issue, contamination, the Grumman plume, it's always in the back of people's minds, especially in this area. I had a conversation with a gentleman the other night, and I told him what my platform was. He goes, well, I live in this area, which is right next to, like, the epicenter of where it started, and his mother died of cancer. So it's personally hit him. And I mentioned to him, because I used to go to the community park that was there. There was like a summer camp. There's a pool, an ice skating rink, and there's a ball field. That ball field has been shut down because it's so contaminated, but it's not a Superfund site. And I said, if we can get that to be a Superfund site, the members of the community who feel that they have been affected negatively, like especially if they are cancer or sick or something, they could bring a lawsuit against Grumman if it was declared a Superfund site. And I said, I think that's something we should do. The remediation plan to clean up the plume is going to take 100 years. Now, it's great that there's a plan, because there wasn't one for 40 years, you know. Mm-hmm. But now we can't have a plan that's going to take 100 years. There's got to be better technology, a better way of doing this. So it does resonate. COVID is something, it's on everybody's mind. And
how has that affected your constituents specifically?
Well, I think if you were in a room and you asked everyone to raise their hand who either had it or knows somebody's had it, every hand would go up.
Wow.
Yeah. The numbers in New York are staggering. And Nassau County was, I think, the second hardest hit after Manhattan, basically, the boroughs. I don't know how many people I know. And it's not like the flu. People say it's like the flu. Well, I know people who get the flu, they recover, they go on. I know the people who I know have gotten COVID, who have been hospitalized, they're still sick. They'll have chronic issues. I know one woman. She's a mother of three, and she got sick in April, was hospitalized, came out, hospitalized again, came out. Then about a month ago, went back in for blood clots.
Terrible. I'm so sorry. So you talked about access to healthcare being part of your.
Yeah. That same individual is having issues because she's going to lose her employer healthcare, employer provided healthcare. So she's going to have to go on COBRA. COBRA is going to cost her $3,000 a month.
Oh my God, that's insane. That's shocking. And so you've got a plan to address this, as I recall.
Yeah, the New York Health Act, which would establish a single payer healthcare system in New York State, which would allow, this is Medicare for all, for anyone who's not familiar with single payer. It's Medicare for all in New York. It would cover everyone. Everyone have coverage from medical, dental, vision, mental health, and long-term care. Right. And so it would happen overnight. We passed the bill. No, it's going to take a few years to establish it because you just can't switch a system over like that. And you have to make sure it's, you know, running properly, that we're going to have everything set up. But it would be a lot better than what we currently have, a private for-profit system that if you lose your job, maybe you're going to need to invest in the gravesite instead.
Oh, shocking. Well, let's pivot. I mean, you're talking about issues that, you know, everyone in your constituency, whatever their party, can relate to. Let's pivot now. I, you know, reached out specifically because I was very surprised to see in my Twitter feed some pretty shocking tweets or posts that your opponent, Michael Montezano, has posted. And I was taken aback. And startled, and I want your reaction to these, and I really think people should know about them. One of them really hit close to home for me because I've been writing about how trans people and members of the LGBTQ community are being used by right-wing entities to demonize progressives and progressive policies. And so in my feed, I was shocked to see that Michael Montezano, who is running against you, he's the Republican running against you, had posted something from Patriot Nation, which showed apparently a man or a, you know, transitioning man or a, you know, someone who is represented as a trans person in a bathing suit. And it's a very kind of a shocking or sensational image. And the text is coming to a women's bathroom near you, courtesy of the Democrat Party. So I have my feelings about this. I want to know what your feelings are. Is this appropriate? Is it what we want? Tell me what you think about this from your opponent.
It's not appropriate. And it's disgusting. They're using fear to drive a policy or basically create division. And this is something I've seen from his posts on social media, that there's more division there than bringing people together. And, you know, you're representing everybody in your district. When you're elected, you represent everyone in your district. And yes, your personal views affect what policies you're going to support. And if he's posting things like this, and I've seen the posts which you're talking about, because they're I think he's hidden most of them now, but he would publicly post it on his personal social media. And so I know if you're posting something on your personal social media and you're retweeting it or whatever it might be, that means you're pretty much endorsing that. And if you're endorsing that point of view, you're saying there's a group of people in your constituency that you will not represent. You will not be there for.
Absolutely. And let's take that one step further. I mean, your district has members of the LGBT community and it has people who are trans. What do you think this says? I mean, like, beyond, you know, I won't represent these people. He's making fun of these people, right? He's making fun of this group. Right. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I was quite shocked at how cruel this image was and how belittling. And I just want to know your thoughts about that emotionally as a candidate.
I mean, I know people who are trans. I have friends that are trans long-term. I mean, they're like family. So it is very disturbing and upsetting to me. And it says to me that Well, one, we are not the same, me and Mr. Montesano. He has this idea that I can't comprehend why he would think this way. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around, especially we've come so far socially with mm-hmm. accepting people for who they are. And it's not just a matter of expression. Trans individuals are, you know, to put it from my perspective, they're completing who they are. Mm-hmm. The reality is they were like, well, you know, I was born one way, but I really am this way. And I'm making my journey towards that. He's dismissing that. Mm-hmm. He's saying, like, when he uses imagery like that, it feels as if he dismisses them entirely. And it's and how could you be a human being?
Yeah.
And do that.
Yeah. And so you've talked about how your constituents or people, your would-be constituents are facing like hospitalizations, $3,000 a month, you know, hospital bills, businesses getting hard hit. Would you say that trans people using the women's bathrooms allegedly, which itself is a, you know, non-existent scare tactic, is the biggest issue facing your constituents in District 15?
No.
Right. Let's move on to another one. I mean, I think
just to say, like, you probably would never know that person's transitioning. You know, I mean, the imagery that you suggested that he uses that suggests this is very misrepresentative, I think.
Very stereotyping. Yeah. So let's move on to another one, because I was quite shocked to see there were four of these posts. The second one, he posted an image of people peacefully protesting at the White House against President Trump's immigration ban, using their First Amendment rights to protest his ban on immigrants. And the headline or the text that he shared was, "It's amazing how many people have nothing to do." So this is, your candidate is representing a district that is very diverse. And you talked about the various, you know, people from different communities around the world who now live in your district on Long Island, being entrepreneurs, sending their kids to school, you know, contributing to the community, paying their taxes. What's your view of that post, making fun of people protesting an immigrant ban?
Well, I think making fun of anybody for protesting or expressing their First Amendment rights is wrong. You disagree with it, but to say don't they have anything better to do, to agree with that statement is to basically come on the side of, well, he's against immigrants. That's how I would take it. He's you know, we have a lot of first generation immigrants here in the district, a lot of, and they have left their homes because of they may be the minority there. The Sikh community, most people don't realize this. Many Sikh there are many Sikh in this district come from Afghanistan. They're a minority within Afghanistan, and they're being pushed out. I was talking with some of the leaders the other day, and they brought this to my attention. And I went and I said, let me look this up and see, because everyone thinks, oh, Afghanistan, Muslim, et cetera. And it's not the Muslims. It's this very particular group in Afghanistan that's pushing everyone out. There's only about 700 Sikhs left from what I read in Afghanistan. Hmm. There are more Sikhs in Hicksville.
Wow.
And so they're escaping exclusion and, I guess you could say, oppression, mm-hmm. and they're coming here for a better life. And then you're saying, well, there should just be a ban on all immigrants or any immigrant in that matter, because it doesn't fit your ideology. This is, you know, America itself is about, and people truly still believe, the American dream. They're going to come here and make a life for them and their family. And when we put a ban on people coming here because of some what seems to be racist ideology, you know, on the federal level, And we can take a whole nother hour to talk about the cages. I call them concentration camps, you know, where you have children ripped away from their parents. You're supporting that. And it's horrific. And when what happens next? And we always have to be vigilant about our democracy. What will happen next? When you approve of that type of thinking that says ban all these people from coming to our country, maybe because they don't look like us or think like us or whatever it might be, what happens next? When do we go to the next level of exclusion?
Yeah. Let me ask you to bring it to a local level. I mean, you talked about a strong Afghani community in Hicksville in your district, and you know, I assume that these members of the community are, you know, contributing in many ways to the community. How do you think they will feel in Hicksville when they see this ad or this not ad, this post that your opponent, Michael Montezano, is spreading around, making fun of people who are opposing a Muslim ban or an immigrant ban? How will they feel, like, will, you know, in terms of their representative? How should they feel?
I think if it was me, I would be, one, upset, two, fearful, and unwelcomed.
Do you think that they should know about this post?
I think some of them do know his views, because there have been other, I've seen other social media posts of his that have suggested that basically they're Islamophobic.
Gotcha. So let me move on to the last one. It's really, again, shocking is the best word I can come up with. It's a post that shows the cops who shot and killed a Black suspect in Minneapolis. And the quote is, "You are burning and destroying Minneapolis because four white cops killed a Black suspect. Look again." And it shows that these cops are not all white, that they're different races. But I don't want to put words in your mouth, but to me, it's a super divisive image. And it's one that, again, belittles the issue of racism and police brutality. But what, you know, at a time when we are so divided as a country, and when there are, you know, groups of people on both sides making the streets chaotic and disturbances, you know, what do you say about an opponent who is posting something so very violent and divisive? And again, you know, bringing it back to how you would lead, do you think your district needs a uniter and someone who will calm people down instead of riling them up around division?
I definitely think we need leaders, you know, myself included, that would look to bring us together, especially in times of crisis like COVID-19, this pandemic. If we were together in the very beginning, I think we would have avoided a shutdown. I think we would have been in a better place and not had so many deaths. You know, and this is just, I'm just speaking about COVID-19.
Right.
And when it comes to that post, I think that he misses the nuance of what it is really there, and that it's a system of racism that exists, and that you don't have to necessarily be a person of color or white who's, you know, just because you are a person of color, if you're in the police, you know, if you're a police officer, you're within a system that seems to be systemically racist. And so that's not saying that you are a racist, mm-hmm. but they're in a system that people are pointing out mm-hmm. for decades, this is what's been going on. So, and to try to dismiss it entirely by just pointing out, well, there are other people there, and look, and they're Asian or they're Latino or whatever they might be. So it can't be racist.
So moving again to the local, you have many communities of color in District 15 on Long Island. How do you think they should know about this, you know, social media post? And again, how do you think they're going to feel if your opponent is elected, is triumphant, you know, with a post like this saying basically it's not that, you know, I'm not going to take seriously the fact that men who are African-American are dying at the hands of police. I'm going to, you know, make a quip about it.
Yeah. Well, I think they're going to be upset. When you talk to some people who grew up in a different part of the world, you know, the police in some places are a very, they are very oppressive. And the fear is that we are moving in that direction and that's something they were escaping. And so they don't want to see that happening. And then a person of color, a member of the Black community, I'm going to say I've learned in the last year or so, there are people that still speak about sundown towns. I didn't even know what a sundown town was. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've been watching any HBO shows, you've been learning that. But they literally will not stay in a part of Long Island because they are afraid that they will be arrested or harassed for being there, and they're Black.
Right. Understandable. I mean, it's understandable that they would feel fearful. So you've been really, very forthcoming about all of these issues. I thank you. We've nearly run out of time. And I'd like to ask you, if Michael Montezano were in this room right now, what would you want to say to him about these three posts that I've discussed with you?
I'm disgusted. I am, I am also a constituent.
Right.
Right. How do you ask him to justify it? You can't. If he hadn't, there's no excuse for it. So why, I would say, like, if anything, I think the only option you have is, why is it you think this way? And how can we come to an accord where maybe if we could talk about it and try to come to some education about it?
Well, you're a very hopeful person, and you're also challenging him, and you want to defeat him. So in what way, final comment, in what way do you think you'd be a better representative of your diverse community than Michael Montezano in relation to the things we've been discussing?
I believe in inclusivity. And that for Long Island, and especially Assembly District 15, to prosper, we have to become more inclusive. We have to open ourselves up to the many, I want to say the many cultures that are here. So we do have various, Asian, South Asian communities here. And we have the Black community, we have a Hispanic community, Latino, Latinx community. There's a lot of different people with a lot of different values. And to come together to understand each other, I think that would be something that I would want to see happen when I'm elected, that I can help do that.
Okay. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you've certainly... I appreciate the time you gave to express these feelings. I think a lot of people that you're reaching out to will want to hear what you've said, and we'll be sharing this widely. And best of luck.
Thank you. Best luck to all of us.
To all of us, indeed. Take care.
And voted. Vote. Wherever you are, vote.
Oh, and lastly, what is the website or contact information you want people to have? You want them to text, phone bank? How can they help in these last few hours?
Easiest thing to do is just go to the website and click on the volunteer and go to www.sackman, SACKMAN2020.com. foodforthought.com.
Fantastic. Food for thought. Thank you so much. Take
Thanks
care.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.